In October of last year, the William Faulkner Literary Rights Company, patrolling the borders of the author's estate with the doggedness of a blue-tick hound, filed suit against Sony Pictures over the Woody Allen movie Midnight in Paris, or as the Faulkner lawyers refer to it in court filings, the infringing film. The infringing in question was the slight paraphrase of a Faulkner quote, "The past is never dead, it's not even past," taken from the book Requiem for a Nun. In the whimsical Woody Allen movie, Owen Wilson plays a writer who travels to the seemingly romantic past of Paris, a past he longs for, only to discover that it is no better than his present, which in his defense is apparently replete with beautiful French women who are charmed by him. The Faulkner work, on the other hand, is less whimsical. It deals with infanticide, capital punishment, race relations, and, well, other Faulknerian topics. But despite the chasm of time, form, theme, and overall demeanor between the two works, the plaintiffs felt the use of the phrase in the movie is, quote, likely to cause confusion, to cause mistake, and or to deceive the infringing film's viewers as to the origin, sponsorship, or approval of Sony's goods, services, or commercial activity by William Faulkner and or his written works, unquote. If that seems unlikely, you only have to read 8 pages of the wonderfully titled Plaintiff Faulkner's Brief in Support of Its Response to Defendant's Motion to Dismiss to get to the truth. There, the estate noted, quote, Sony should have obtained license from Faulkner before using the quote and Mr. Faulkner's name in Midnight, as it had done with Cole Porter's music and Pablo Picasso's painting, unquote. Aha. But these two licensed examples actually cut against the plaintiff's case. Both works of art are used in the movie in their entirety, and more than once. On the other hand, the Faulkner quote is a mere 2 lines from a 286-page book. That fact is important because in determining fair use, the court will look to the portion of the copyrighted work used. The Faulkner estate, anticipating this would be a problem, claimed it was not the quote's quantitative importance, but qualitative. The quote, the plaintiff said, describes the essence of the book, its theme, and so its impact is much larger than simply 9 words out of some 90,000. But the court was unconvinced. Like a student in a 7th grade English class, the judge spotted the same theme in several passages, none of which were quoted in the infringing film. Another of the crucial fair use issues the court looked at was the effect of the defendant's use upon the potential market for the copyrighted work. The Faulkner estate argued, somehow, that the value of Faulkner's work would be harmed by its use in the film. The court was skeptical. Quote, how Hollywood's flattering and artful use of literary allusion is a point of litigation, not celebration, is beyond this court's comprehension. The court, in its appreciation for both William Faulkner as well as the homage paid him in Woody Allen's film, is more likely to suppose that the film indeed helped the plaintiff and the market value of Requiem, if it had any effect at all, unquote. In short, the Faulkner estate's ham-handed attempt to get money out of Sony for its use of a quote failed. But it is even worse than that for the estate. The Faulkner lawyers noted that they routinely enter into licensing agreements for the author's copyrighted works, including Requiem, and that Sony's use would have a deleterious effect on its ability to do this. The judge responded to this argument curtly, noting he, quote, does not consider a copyright holder to be entitled to licensing fees for fair use of his or her work, unquote. That is, if the estate is charging others for the fair use of this quote, maybe it shouldn't be. A refreshing idea for the world of arts and letters. I'm Travis McDade.